Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to give these books to the visitors. Okay? But I have 20 more for the regulars coming on Sunday. Okay?
Okay, God bless you. You know, this morning, as Pastor's already shared with us and said, you know, in Malta we are celebrating and commemorating Mother's Day, as a lot of countries around the world do as well. And, you know, this week I was excited, perhaps not excited, but I'm really pleased to see the news that the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced to the world the birth of their baby boy. You know, we, like them, they're excited, they are joyous because of this new birth that's coming to their family. You know, we're going to join together today. I'm just going to share a few thoughts about a woman in the Bible, a mother, perhaps a short Mother's Day message this morning. And I want you just to think about the role that a mother plays in the nurture of a child. You know, she is responsible for their development. She trains them. She teaches them as they grow up. Her love for her child is special and unique. And I suspect the scripture asks the question, can a woman forget her nursing child? But then it goes on, it says, even if the mother does forget, the father doesn't, our Father in heaven, he doesn't forget us. You know, but it's her duty, the mother's duty, to raise and raise her child in line with the word of God, to love God, to serve God. Yet on the other side of that coin, we also see that there's probably no greater heartache for a woman who has that heart to be a mother, that desire to love and nurture a young life, yet unable to do so, and not able to give birth, not able to experience that motherhood for herself. You know, she goes through great pain, great struggle. And all couples that want to have a child yet find it difficult and they resort to other means. If they can't have a child, you know, there is a struggle there, there's pain, there's tension in the relationship sometimes. And this was the circumstance for the woman that we're going to look at this morning. So if you come with me to the first book of Samuel, we're going to look at the lady, the young woman, Hannah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 10 to start with. Because I want you just to see, I'm going to jump a little bit around in this chapter this morning, but we're going to see that this was the circumstance that Hannah found herself in. And the scripture records it. Verse 10 says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was unable to conceive. She was unable to give birth. It says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, the priest, watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Here we see a woman who had real problems. Now we can learn from Hannah, every single one of us, whether we're a mother or not. We can learn from Hannah the example of how to live by faith. Because Hannah had real problems. We all go through problems. And sometimes when we read the scriptures, and I often do this mistakenly, you can read the stories, you can read the lives of people like Abraham, Joshua, you can read of people like David, and you can go through their stories, and you somehow, you can come away with the impression sometimes that they are totally different to you and me. Because it seems that everything goes well for them. Now, yet they are like you and me. They make mistakes. We see it particularly in the life of David, how he was called a man after God's own heart, yet he made one of the greatest mistakes. And we preach about it, it's recorded in scriptures. You know, we sometimes think that these characters, these Bible heroes, as we might call them, are almost perfect. And we look up to them. Actually, what we find is that the people in the Bible, like Hannah, like us, they lived lives, they had real problems, they suffered real needs. And yet, one difference perhaps with the people in the Bible, they faced those problems, they faced those difficulties with faith. They trusted God. And that's why their story is mentioned, that's why they're recorded, why to show us how we can live by faith. Hannah was one of these people. She was the wife of a man called Elkanah. Now, he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. He loved Hannah, yet Hannah couldn't have any children. Now, Peninnah was able to give birth, and she gave birth to children. And what we read in the scriptures is that she used to torment, she used to tease Hannah. Oh, the Lord's blessed me with children, and you can't have them. I'm so much better than you are. And she would torment her, she would tease her, year after year, well actually day after day, year after year, particularly at the time they went up to worship at Jerusalem, Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle was located. And they would go up to this place, and they would give thanks to God, and she would pick on Hannah, and she'd say, God hasn't blessed you, you haven't had children. And she'd make fun of her, she'd pick upon her. And this caused her grief. We read it here, and back to verse 10, please. Gerald, go back to verse 10. It says that she was in bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This is a woman that's in need. She's suffering. She's in pain. Perhaps not so much physical pain, but mental pain. Heartache. Why? Because all she wants from God is a child. Now, it's a great gift to become a mother or a father, but it's also a great responsibility. It's an amazing honor to be given a precious young life to shape and mold and direct. Actually, you've had the joy, as we have, over these last 3 months of, we've had our granddaughter with us, you know, Bethany. She's now gone back to the UK. And it's been a joy, even over these last few months, to see how she can be so easily developed. Because she's at that age where she's being shaped, she's being molded. You know, her actions, she's imitating those around her. I was watching her last Sunday in the service. You know, we were just at the back of the hall here, and you know, when we prayed, she picked up very quickly, as all children do. And I think Pastor Vince sort of said, he said out loud, and everybody said, amen. And we all said, amen. And she said, men, men. And then I'd see her down here watching you as we're in praise and worship. You've got your hand, and she starts to lift her hands up. She's copying. She's being shaped. She's being molded. And it's a great honor for us as parents, as mothers, as fathers, as grandparents, to witness and shape our children's lives. Now, unfortunately, with children, unlike washing machines, cars, They don't come with owner's manuals. If you don't know how to use your mobile phone, when you purchased it, you would have got a user guide. And you can read the owner's manual, you can read the user's guide, and you can learn about it. But you don't get that with a child, particularly the first one. The second one's perhaps a little easier because you've gone through the pressures and you know where you went wrong with the first one or what mistakes you made, and you know not to do that again. And often we make mistakes when we come to raising our children, particularly the first one. And perhaps it's at times like that that young women that are giving birth, they look to their mothers or they look to people in the family for help and advice. And we need someone very often who's more qualified than us to give us that help. You know, Joan would ask the question, you know, if something happened and she didn't know what to do, she would ask the question, what do you do in this situation? How do you get Bethany to sleep? How do you do this? How do you do that? And Hannah points us to the one who really is able to help us. She points us to the Lord because she goes to God in prayer. You know, she prayed to the Lord. She took her pain, she took her anguish to God. Yes, she had her problems. She didn't blame her, now what would you call her? The other wife. Is it a stepwife? Well, she didn't blame Peninnah for the problem that she was in, for the anguish, although she maybe was the root and the cause of, because of the torment. She didn't blame her. She didn't blame her husband Elkanah. She didn't blame anyone else. She didn't lash out at those around her. She did, even though she wanted to be a mother so bad, she did what she should do. She went to God. She went to the Lord. You know, when you're in pain and great distress, it doesn't have to be over children, but in any need, when you're in pain and great distress, you're in great need, there's no better person to turn to than the Lord Jesus. You know, the great physician, the great healer, the great deliverer, the great I am. There's a... I've taken to quoting a couple of hymns just recently, and there was a great hymn writer. His name was Elisha Hoffman. And in one of his hymns, perhaps not so well known, certainly not in the circle that I, and the church that I grew up in, didn't know this hymn. But he wrote a great hymn, and part of that hymn says, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. You know, there's no greater person to go to than Jesus, and that hymn writer caught that. And Hannah does that. She goes to God in her pain, and she makes a promise. She makes a vow. And she says here, verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. What a promise. If you will just answer my prayer, Lord, I will give him back to you. How could Hannah make such an extreme promise for a child that she doesn't have? How many of us as parents, as mothers, fathers, grandparents, would give up our child? You know, someone who we have nurtured and loved for a few years, to suddenly surrender them to somebody else. Now, I know there are people that do that, and they do put their children up for adoption. But generally, that's done before they've really got to know the child. But once you... Because she was going to promise, she was going to, as we will see as we go on, she was going to keep Samuel for a couple of years to nurture him, to feed him, get him onto solid foods, to wean him. And in that time, she would have grown to love him dearly. She would have spent every day with him. She would have taught him how to speak, taught him how to do the things that he does. his life would have been shaped by her input. And then she was going to give him up. Now how could she make that promise? Here's a question for us this morning. Whether we're mothers, whether we're fathers, whether we're grandparents. How much do you trust God? Actually, we can ask that question whether we don't have children. How much do you trust God? Do you trust Him enough to give Him your children? Now there's a thought. If not, the next question is why not? Why don't we trust God enough? Hannah trusted God completely with her son, as Abraham did. You know, think of the anguish that Abraham and Sarah went through. 25 years waiting for a child. Because that's when God promised a child to Abraham and Sarah. He didn't appear for 25 years. And then God asked Abraham to give him up, to sacrifice him. Yet we don't read in Genesis in 22 as Abraham and Isaac are climbing Mount Moriah. We don't read any anguish in his heart. We don't read any grief there. That's when all we see is faith. And if you look at it, I'm not going to turn to it now because I'll digress. But if you go to Genesis 22, you'll see that he says to those that he leaves at the camp, he says, the boy and I am going to worship and we will come back. He was confident that Isaac was coming back with him. Now the scripture tells us that he reckoned him alive. That God would raise him from the dead. That's how Abraham viewed it. If I have to slay him, God will raise him to life again. That was Abraham's faith. Hannah's is very much the same. If God will give me a son, I'm not going to lose him, I'm going to lend him to the Lord. And she actually experiences God's provision. God hears her prayer. God answers it. Let's look at verse 19. If you can just come up, please, Gerald. Because we see here, verse 19, it says this. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. And the Lord remembered her. Amen. Isn't it good when we're remembered? The children remembered my birthday last week. Although with Debbie, she said I had to wait until I went to the UK to pick the card up because she wanted to save the postage. But I got it on Wednesday. She gave it to me Wednesday when we took Beth back. But they remembered my birthday. It's nice to be remembered. Were you remembered this morning by your children? Did they present you with a gift? Flowers or chocolates or something nice? Are they taking you out for lunch once the service is finished? It's nice to be remembered. God remembered Hannah. And it says it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Notice it says here in verse 19, they rose early in the morning and worshipped. This was Elkanah and Hannah. This was their custom. They worshipped God. They went to God on a regular basis. This wasn't just a once a year when they went up to worship at the tabernacle. This was a daily practice. They worshipped God. They were in touch with God. They were in tune with God. We read in that verse that later Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. Now the name Samuel, we get a glimpse of it here in verse 20. The name Samuel means that I am heard of God. God has heard my prayer. Yeah, and every time Hannah would have spoke his name, mentioned his name. She called him, perhaps called him to the table, called him in from outside. It's time for that. She said, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Every time she mentioned his name, she was remembering the fact that God hears and answers prayer. She was encouraging herself that God hears my prayer. God answers my prayer. And what we actually see in Hannah, this great woman of faith, a woman that trusts God, we see a woman that keeps her promise as well. Because in verse 21, it goes on and it says this, Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. I'm going to take this off. It sounds like the battery is gone. I'm going to take this off. I'll speak up. It says, I'm not going up, she says, not until the child is weaned. Then I'm going to take him. She dedicated herself to her child. I'm going to serve God by raising Samuel. Now she was known, she knew her vow. She knew she was going to give him to the Lord. She was going to take him up. But what she wanted to do was to direct him, to train him, to nurture him, to get him to the place where she could give a priest to God. A prophet to God, because that's who Samuel was, and she knew his calling. Now, many people make promises to God. We all make promises to God. We say, well, Lord, if this happens, then I'll do this. We need to be careful what we promise, because it's not good if we break that promise. As in the process of time, as time goes by, we forget the promise we made. And God requires us to keep our word. Thank you, Timmy. I'm tired. Yeah, there's a Hannah wasn't like that. She didn't break her promise. She kept her vow. Why? Because she knew that Samuel did not belong to her. He was God's gift to a little bit like when Sarah conceived. This was not her baby. This was the Lord's promised child. And Hannah knew Samuel did not belong to her. He belonged to because of the promise, the vow that she had made. Now, when Samuel was weaned, and we don't know exactly, but we can guess, Samuel probably would have been about 2 to 3 years old. Perhaps a little bit older than what Bethany is now. Because he was on solid food, he was able to talk, he could walk, he could do most things for himself. So he would have been just a small lad. And she takes him. And she goes up to Shiloh with her husband. And in verse 26 to 28, the last few verses of the chapter, it tells us the encounter she has when she arrives at Shiloh. Because she presents herself to Eli. Now Eli was the one who, remember, he thought she was drunk when her lips were moving at his, he could see her praying. She wasn't making any vocal noises. She was quiet. And he says, woman, get yourself home. You know, don't come here in that drunken state. This is the priest of God. And then she began to say, well, Nash, you know, I'm in. And she poured out a little of her heart. And he says, go and the Lord grant you what you've asked for. And then she comes back to him. She says, oh, my Lord, she says, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And it says they worship the Lord there. Now, Hannah literally gives her son to God. You know, we might do that through prayer, and we offer him and say, Lord, look after our children, and we bring them in faith in. But she actually physically took her boy to the tabernacle, and she gave him and presented him to God. She left him in the tabernacle. Now, I just need to just pick up on something of Jewish tradition just as we conclude this morning. The priests served until they were 50 years old. That was what the scripture tells us. The Nazarite vow, which she promised, remember in our promise, she says no razor will touch his head. It wouldn't have been a very good custom for you, but no razor would touch his head. That was a vow which was just for a limited time. But Hannah's commitment to God was that he would serve the Lord, or he would be led to the Lord as long as he lives. Hers was a lifetime commitment to God. You know, God doesn't, not looking for us to promise, well, I'll serve you for a week. I'll serve you just when it's suitable and convenient for me. I'll serve you, I'll give you my latter years, but I'm going to have my younger years to enjoy myself. Because that's how a lot of people react. It's alright for when you get into old age, you need something to believe in. But as young people know, and that's how you hear people talking. But here, Hannah's vow is that she will serve the Lord. She will give him to the Lord as long as he, for his lifetime. I want you to notice something now. We don't get it so much in the New King James. And a lot of the modern translations translate it the same way as we got it on the screen here. But if you look at the literal translations, look at the King James Version and some of the other translations, the Revised Version. It says this. Now we need to listen to the words. This is verse 28. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. Talking about Samuel. She says, I've lent him to the Lord. I've lent my boy, my son. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, Samuel. And he worshipped the Lord there, Samuel. It's all Samuel in this verse. He is lent to the Lord. As long as he lives, he worshipped the Lord. Now most of the modern translations translate it as we have here. They worshipped the Lord there. The commentators don't believe this is Eli. They don't believe it's Elkanah. They believe it is Samuel that is worshipping the Lord. Where did Samuel learn to worship God at 3 years old? His mother, because of their commitment to God. Elkanah, they shaped him, they trained him. If you want your children to learn to pray, be an example. Amen. Include them in prayer time at home. Amen. If you want your children to worship, worship in front of them. It's no coincidence that God commanded Moses, tell your children and your children's children. Tell them, speak about the word of God in front of them. When you rise up, when you sit down, when you walk, speak about the things of God. Why? Because they are being trained. They are being shaped. They're being molded by the things of God. If you want your child to serve God, model it in front of them. You serve God. Now Hannah has just dropped off her young son at the temple to serve the priest. And as I said at the beginning, it's one of the most difficult experiences for any mother to give up their child. But there's no anguish here. There's only praise and joy. Because it goes on in chapter 2. And I want you to look at this and compare this to with what Mary in Luke 1 said. So just give me chapter 2, please, Gerald, quickly. And then I'm going to finish. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Luke.
Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1. And that's it. This is Hannah's prayer. She's just offered her son to God. She's just given Samuel up. And she says, and this is very similar to Mary's prayer in Luke. She says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." Mary in Luke says this, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name." It's that same prayer. What Hannah prayed, Mary prayed. It's a joy that there's the child that they have is serving the Lord. So woman, women, in our fellowship this morning, women that are watching us live broadcast, you need to know that you are of great worth to God. God values you highly. Whether or not you have a child, God values women. Women were an integral part of Jesus' ministry team. He needed them in his team. Yet many people, many groups shut the women out. But yet you are vital, worth something to God. Mothers, this morning, make it your mission to give your children to the Lord for a lifetime of service. You know, my mother, my own mother, and I didn't know this until really the last few years of her life. But every time I stood up and preached and ministered, whether it was preaching, whether it was leading a service, whether it was doing something for God, every time I stood up and did that, she was thrilled. Why? Because she developed me, she trained me, she nurtured me. And that was her heart, her prayer for me, that God would raise me up. She encouraged me. You know, she'd come to me after a service and tell me, "You know, that blessed me. That was a good word." You know, be an example as well to your children. That's one of the lessons we learned from Hannah. We've got to grow in our own relationship so that they imitate and copy us. I'm going to finish with a little story. And you know, Pastor's been bringing a couple of little jokes recently, and I'm going to finish with one myself. There was a young family that was, they'd been at church on the Sunday morning. They were just driving home from church. Actually, they'd just given birth to, the mother had just given birth to a baby, and she just offered him, they dedicated him to the Lord that Sunday morning in the service. And the pastor had prayed and dedicated the baby to God. And they had just finished and they were driving home. Now the little, there was the mother, the father, there was the little baby, and there was little Johnny in the family. There was just four of them. And on the way home, little Johnny was in the back and he was crying. And this was unusual for him because he was normally a happy baby. And he was crying and and his mother asked him three times, "What's the matter, Johnny? You know what?" And he wouldn't say. And so she asked him three times, "What's the matter?" Eventually, through the tears, through the sniffles, he said, "Mommy," says, "the pastor said in the service this morning that he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home." He says, "But I want to stay with you guys." So be an example to your children. Love them, nurture them, train them. God bless you, mothers.
Amen. So my beloved sisters in the Lord, grandparents, aunties, you know, mothers, be an example to your siblings.